We pray. Heavenly Father, how can we thank you for the wonderful victory Christ has brought us? In his death and resurrection, you have conquered peace for us, total and free forgiveness. You have made us your own dear children, and as your children, we rejoice at the sound of your name. All glory, praise, and honor be to you in highest heaven and in our heart of hearts, now and forevermore. Amen. Would you have liked to have been one of Jesus' disciples? Walking on that dusty road from Galilee up the mountain to Jerusalem? Sharing fish suppers with him? Hearing firsthand his Sermon on the Mount? Or maybe walking on the water or feeding the 5,000? Or looking into Jesus' eyes when he died, and then again when he came back to life. Jesus told his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to the people of this world. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever seeing, but never perceiving." The Old Testament prophets so longed and ached to see the promised Messiah as they looked through that small window of God's inspired word. The Pharisees and Sadducees looked directly at Jesus, only inches away from him, and yet they were unable to recognize the Son of God because they did not trust in the word of God. Jesus said to his disciples and the women that followed him, "Blessed are your eyes because they see." On that first Easter morning, however, it didn't seem like the Jesus' disciples or the women saw, perceived, or appreciated what God was doing. The women, holding spice jars in their arms while dropping tears in the dust, processed to the tomb on the soft glow of the first day's light, clueless. Everything that I hoped for to have in Jesus was dashed, while everything they were about to see, oh, would transform their vision of the Almighty. We can imagine their conversations as they travel to the tomb. "What about the stone? Who will roll the stone away from the mouth of the grave?" "Oh, look, it's already open." "It's not supposed to be open." "Where are the guards, Pilate, posted?" "They're not here." "What would make them leave their post?" "Let's go in and pour our perfume over the linen-wrapped corpse." "Jesus' body isn't here. The tomb is empty. How can that be?" In the early morning shadows, with no body and with no guards, the women stood by themselves alone in the cemetery, holding their unopened spices, dumbfounded. The sun was slowly rising over the horizon when suddenly two angels appeared to them with a shocking question. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" The living? The living? Last we saw Jesus, he was very much dead. What were these ladies seeing but not perceiving, understanding? Peter ran to the tomb, bolted into the narrow chamber to find the strips of linen lying there by themselves on the stone slab. Peter, what do your eyes see? How do you understand these clues? Jesus' burial linen is lying undisturbed, right where it was placed 3 days ago, only without the body that it once hugged. Peter, reach your hand out and touch the deflated cloth where Jesus' body once laid in death before he opened his eyes. Before he passed through the linen, passed through the stone walls, rising back to life, proof that he is God, proof of his victory. Peter and the women saw an empty grave. In seeing nothing, they were witnesses of everything. They, however, didn't realize what an empty tomb meant yet. To the disciples, the lady's words seemed like nonsense. Peter went away wondering to himself what had happened. Jesus' followers were reluctant witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, slow to believe what Jesus had said. Before we judge them too harshly, let's remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane when he held out his arms to be arrested. This is your hour when darkness reigns. Not only were Peter and the boys devastated to see Jesus hanging, bleeding, gasping, and finally silent in death, there also was the thick, suffocating weight of hell's evil hanging in the air. Have we felt over the last couple of years that there has been a heavy, foreboding presence of evil hanging in the air over America? No one seems happy or optimistic anymore. If we are experiencing that darkness in these end times, how much worse would it have been on the day the Lord of glory died? In the heavy darkness of Good Friday, when the sun stopped shining for 3 hours, there was only one sliver of spiritual light. Would those who believed in Jesus drown in the ocean of dark evil all around them? Or would they lock their eyes on the life of light as he hung on the cross? What were they missing? What were they having trouble seeing and perceiving that would revive their souls, push back the darkness of evil, and flood their hearts with hope, peace, and joy? We know. We know the key, don't we? We see what everyone needs to understand and believe if they are to get it, grasp it, and make it their own. Do we see? God died. God's alive. All to rescue us. Jesus is both God and human in one. It is horrible to see any human die by crucifixion. But if Jesus is only a human, then his death would mean nothing more than the thousands of other prisoners crucified by the Romans. If only the human part of our God-man Savior Jesus died, then again, the death of one man cannot pay for the sins of another. Our eternal, almighty, all-knowing God died in order to, in our place, in order to set us free. In the screeching pains of crucifixions, Jesus' disciples lost sight of the fact that the Son of God, our own God-man, Savior, was the one hanging on the cross. They were overcome in dark misery. The thief hanging next to Jesus recognized that he was a King of Kings and Lord of Lords as he cried out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Had Peter and the other disciples held before their eyes the fact that Jesus is God dying on the cross, they would have perceived, understood, and appreciated that they were witnessing with their very own eyes how God was dying and being punished for our sins and the sins of all mankind. God suffered death in order to give us life. Stand back in awe at the foot of the cross to see the enormous price God paid for our sins. Yes, indeed, how dark and wicked our sins truly are, that it takes such a price as God's own life to set us free. And be amazed at the limitless love that God has for us, that he would be punished to set us free, to liberate us from what would take us to hell, making us holy, the children of God. Had Jesus' followers viewed Jesus' death with more faith than fear, they may have come out to the tomb with a marching band, fireworks, a banner saying, "He is risen." The disciples were slow to appreciate Jesus' victory. What about us? Why have we come this morning? We don't come out to Jesus' tomb with spices or tears of grief. God forbid that we come to Jesus' tomb this morning with hearts of doubt, skepticism, or cold indifference. How can this be? It's a nice story, but how can someone who once was dead come back to life again? What does it really matter for us? Nothing in our life compares to the importance of what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. Do we see it? Do we perceive how we are nothing, we have nothing, we deserve only the dungeons of hell had God not intervened to save us? Do we see? God died. God's alive. All to rescue us. The one who holds a universe in the palm of his hand like a marble, who shrunk down himself to become a speck of a human being on one of those distant planets, gave his life in order to give us life, to be punished so that we could be blessed, came back to life so that we would be alive in Christ forevermore. Jesus' resurrection proves that he is God, that he is the Messiah prophesied in all of Scripture, that he has completely paid for our sins, that all people are declared not guilty in his courtroom, justified, reconciled to God through Jesus' blood. As Jesus walked out of his tomb, so will we walk out of our graves at that final trumpet, when Jesus returns to claim the bodies of his brothers and sisters. We are blessed because the Holy Spirit has given us eyes to see what our Savior has done and ears to hear in faith his glorious good news. We are blessed to see what so many others don't perceive. God himself died for us. God himself is alive for us, all to rescue us and make us his very own. We have not walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem with Jesus or hung on the cross next to him, but we have the very same assurance that he gave that thief. We will be with Jesus in paradise. What a blessed Easter it is. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen.